Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Friday, the first day of May. I'm Carrie Klein. The city of Fresno is home to cuisines from all around the world. Vietnamese, Armenian, French, Hmong, Spanish. A local news outlet is hoping to highlight all of it.
We thought Fresno could use more food reporting that's sort of dedicated specifically to that, which we don't really have.
Coming up, we learn more about the newly launched Fresnoland food site. But first, these headlines. The U.S. House of Representatives has passed the 2026 Farm Bill. The bill contains sweeping updates to food and agriculture programs. It was approved in a near party-line vote. Bakersfield Republican Vince Fong is among those who voted in favor. He said the bill would support the Central Valley's agriculture industry and the economy. The legislation still faces hurdles in the Senate. Many registered nurses in Bakersfield plan to hold a press conference at Bakersfield Memorial Hospital today. They're calling attention to the potential closure of the hospital's burn unit. They're asking leaders to reverse a plan to close the burn unit, which they say provides critical treatment to people suffering severe burns locally. A creative solution to water scarcity and land use is taking shape in the valley. Vivian Aguilar, with her newsroom partner, the Modesto Focus, has this report from a canal covered in solar panels.
Researchers at UC Merced released a study in 2021 looking at the benefits of covering canals with solar panels. It's an idea to generate carbon-free energy, while at the same time reducing water evaporation. Stakeholders got a look at the first completed site on Wednesday in Hillmar, 45 minutes south of Modesto. The project is called Project Nexus. It's being spearheaded by the Turlock Irrigation District. Brad Cohen is the general manager. He says the two current sites will be key in scaling the idea.
As soon as we get the net cost, I think our plan is we're already looking at where, if this could work somewhere else. But I think they're going to be focused developments.
The project will gather data from two types of solar panel covers that can be used on different types of canals. In Modesto, I'm Vivian Aguilar.
A new bill moving through the Capitol would create safeguards for immigrant professors working at community colleges across the state. It would require colleges to offer remote teaching opportunities to faculty who were deported or denied re-entry to the U.S. after a brief trip. During a recent Assembly Higher Education Committee meeting, East Los Angeles College professor Natalina Montero shared a recent story of when she was approached by an immigration officer.
Who questioned whether I was authorized to be on campus and demanded that I produce my credentials. The encounter might generate profound fear and uncertainty for myself, my students, and my family.
Montero says the experience shows the need for the bill to ensure student education is not impacted by immigration enforcement at community colleges. The bill passed the committee and now heads to appropriations. A federal court is putting a hold on a deadline for certain colleges to submit race and sex data to the federal government. Our newsroom partner, EdSource, reports that the preliminary injunction applies to 178 colleges in a privacy lawsuit. These include schools in California and 16 other states. The pause of the deadline does not block the release of race and sex data from thousands of other schools. The federal judge granted the hold, saying the plaintiff schools were likely to succeed on the merits of their claim.
KVPR Central Valley Daily is the Valley's only daily news podcast, and one of the best ways to support local journalism is by joining us at Corks and Brews. Sunday, May 3rd, we're gathering at the Lester Estate on the San Joaquin River in Fresno for an afternoon of fine wine, craft beer, live music, food vendors, and a silent auction. Tickets are $75. While they will be available at the gate, we recommend buying them in advance to skip the lines. It's not too late. Purchase tickets now at kvpr.org.
And now to our main story. When you're looking for a new taco joint, the perfect baguette, or simply a cheap, tasty lunch, where do you go for tips and recommendations? If you're in the city of Fresno, our news partner Fresnoland now wants to be on that list. You may know Fresnoland for their hyper-local investigations of policy and process in the city, but now they're expanding their offerings with a new series, Fresnoland Food, and a newsletter called Fat City. It's a play on the city's airport code, FAT, by the way. To learn more, I sat down with the producer of the series, Fresno Land contributing food editor Vince Mancini. He shared why Fresno Land decided to turn a focus to food.
The Michelin doesn't send a guide here. We don't have Eater. We don't have Nosh. All the sort of well-known food sites. They sort of have outlets in other cities, and we don't have one. You know, we have local news, but they're doing a lot of other things. And, you know, I was just excited about the Fresno Land model, where we can sort of do local food reporting in a way where there's no paywall. The site doesn't look like it's got 50 autoplay videos. Like, it doesn't look like how most websites have gotten. So it was sort of a two-part thing where we thought Fresno could use more food reporting that's sort of dedicated specifically to that, which we don't really have. Like, we sort of have other newsrooms, hopefully, you know, trying to cover it like as part of the time. I don't know if they're fully committed to doing it all the time, and then, you know, hopefully doing it, I don't know, better, cleaner, easier to read.
So what's the difference between this food reporting and food reviews?
That's a great question. I don't know if I've thought about that one yet. I mean, it is sort of food reviews. Like, my background is reviewing things. So, like, I wouldn't say it's not food reviews. I just think that I sort of approach it more in terms of, instead of giving people like a thumbs up, thumbs down consumer reports style vote, it's more just letting them know what's out there. And also, like, when they're interested in places they want to go to, hopefully, like, giving them a guide to how to approach it, and maybe some additional stories of the people making it, and like the background on it, sort of like almost more like a user's manual than a report, I guess, if that makes any sense.
It does. And I think, you know, the stories that I've seen also, many of them are about kind of the, as you said, the background, but specifically from a cultural lens. I mean, you're kind of giving a bit of a history and again, kind of a personal cultural perspective on the foods, rather than, as you said, just giving a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Right. I mean, and there's so many things that would go into a thumbs up or thumbs down. It's like, you know, is the restaurant having a bad day that day? Did you come in at the right time? Did you order the right thing? Like, knowing all of that is, you know, part of the things that go. And I think we're sort of drowning in review culture, especially as it relates to like restaurants. Like, you can get 50 reviews of every restaurant, and like half of them are going to be, "Ooh, a server was mean to me," or like, "I didn't get the utensils that I wanted." You know, it's like, it's all these things that I don't think people are really looking for when they're choosing to go to a restaurant. So to me, it's more about people in place, like who's making it, you know, what's out there, the story. I don't know, the story behind anything makes it a little more interesting. So hopefully that's kind of what we're trying to get after.
So some of your latest stories include tacos, of course, we're in Fresno, but also Southeast Asian fruit stands, shawarma, local olive oil. You also have neighborhood food guides. That's quite a variety for having just launched, you know, in the last couple of weeks. What's guiding the foods and cultures you choose, and, you know, the order in which you present them?
I mean, mostly just curiosity. I mean, in terms of the order, like, I wish I could say that we had some grand plan. It was more like we need to have a certain amount of stories in the backlog when we launch, so people know like what to expect and they sort of get an idea of what it is. You know, going forward, we'll hopefully try and like tie certain guides to events or things that are happening, like, you know, just your standard like news peg, things like that. But mostly it's just been curiosity. Like, I was curious myself, like, where do I get the best, who has the best shawarma in Fresno? Like, it's mostly just driven by curiosity more than anything else.
And so what's an example of a food genre that perhaps had a lot more to offer than you initially expected? Like, when you launched into the story, maybe something that you learned more from reporting on than you were expecting?
I mean, shawarma was a good example, just in terms of like, I knew we had it here. I knew we probably had decent stuff, but until I like really tried to make an effort to like taste almost everything, I mean, I probably tasted like 15 to 20 shawarmas in the course of maybe like a week and a half to where I'd be buying like 3 and 4.
Sounds terrible.
For lunch. And so
that's
like
sarcasm. I love shawarma.
No, that's kind of my point. I was like, after a few days of that, I was expecting to be tired of it, like never want to see another shawarma again. But like after I finished it, I'd be thinking to myself, oh, I wonder what I should get for lunch. And then, you know, I'd find myself seeking out more of it, like eating stuff that was in my fridge, you know, because when you're testing it, sometimes you only take a few bites and go to the next thing. And I would, I ate most of my leftovers.
And let's talk quickly about ethics. So listeners and readers,
favorite subject.
So listeners and readers may not necessarily know how food reporting works. Some may wonder whether you pay for the food you're reviewing or if you get it for free. Some may also wonder if some of these chefs or businesses pay you for positive press. Can you talk about how all that works?
Sure. I mean, it's funny. I feel like our, you know, media literacy in that way has declined a lot just because, yeah, if you're, you know, scrolling Instagram and looking at your reels, like it's impossible to tell what is sponsored. Yes, a lot of restaurants are paying influencers to for publicity, getting free food, whatever. I mean, a lot of influencers also, I imagine, like just expect that. And it's very easy to create that relationship, I imagine. But, you know, when we started this food vertical, that was sort of one of the things that we made a point was to not, to make it clear that we weren't taking free food and that we weren't doing sponsored content. Like this was all just going to be strictly editorial and, you know, we're going to go and we're not getting like special access or, you know, free stuff basically.
Okay. So why would you say this type of reporting is necessary? You know, what do you hope that audiences will get out of learning more about the food here in Fresno?
I mean, just like the same way, you know, you asked what drove the mix of stories that we have out there now. Most of it is curiosity. Like most of the reason that we wanted to do this is it's just sort of things that we all wondered about there. It was like to have more local news reporting that, you know, wasn't strictly geared to like what's opening and what's closing and, you know, a scandal or whatever. You know, we wanted to know where to get what food, where to get the best pho, where to get, you know, where to find all these things. These are all just sort of questions that we were naturally wondering. And that's sort of been what is driving it.
Fresno Land contributing food editor Vince Mancini, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You can check out some of the reporting we discussed today and much more by going to fresnoland.org/food. And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Carrie Klein. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.